Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look now at your diet for your dog, not yours, but for your dog or your kitty, or maybe you have dogs and cats and you want some information on diets. And I tell you, as I've done shows with veterinarians over the years, many of them, it's one of the kind of controversial areas sometimes is the diet for, and there are people have very strong feelings about one diet versus another, and that's something we can certainly address today and answer your questions when you call in. Dr. Carrie Donahue, she owns and was the founder of Kindred Spirits Holistic Veterinary Care, as well as Full Circle In-Home Pet Hospice and Euthanasia. She grew up in Mount Horeb on a small farm surrounded by animals, always knew she was going to be a veterinarian, and here she is. And with us, once again, she kind of turned into one of our regular guests here. We're glad to have her and certainly glad to have you listening in. So questions about your pet's diet, I hope you'll call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And Dr. Carrie Donahue, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me back.
And you have a new clinic location, which, as it turns out, is pretty close to where we live.
Yes, I just opened a clinic. Actually, it's been there for a couple of months now, and it's on Atwood Avenue in Madison. And the clinic that I actually share it with, and I partnered with Underdog Pet Rescue of Wisconsin. So we share the space, and I volunteer veterinary services for Underdog Pet Rescue and donate part of the service cost to Underdog. And so we kind of partner and try to make the world a better place for animals.
Well, I'm really glad to have you in our neighborhood. And, you know, your title is Holistic Veterinary Medicine. Some people are going to say, what the heck's that? Do you want to describe what you do?
Sure. Holistic Veterinary Medicine is kind of an approach that I take to animals and an approach that I take to treating animals and disease too. And the holistic approach takes into account the whole animal. So what we're going to be talking about today, the nutrition plays a big part of the health of the animal and can contribute a lot to whether they're feeling well or whether they're not feeling well. So nutrition, environment, emotional, physical, all of that is taken into account with a holistic approach.
Well, it's interesting. And nutrition does certainly play a role in that.
Yes, definitely. For me, nutrition is such a large part of everything. Nutrition is everything. It's the basis for health for animals and for ourselves. And I know a lot of us, you know, try to eat healthy, try to eat fresh food, organic food. But a lot of times I find that our animals are kind of left behind and they don't get a lot of the fresh food that we might be giving to ourselves. So I really encourage people to take a look at the diets that they're feeding to their animals and really think about what might be the most appropriate diet for a dog and cat.
Well, let's take a dog. What would be the necessary components, let's put it that way, for a diet for a dog?
Well, a lot of the commercial diets out there are made up in a large part of carbohydrates. So many of the commercial foods that you'll buy have up to 50% carbohydrate, and the rest is made up of protein and fat. So if you look at a dog in the wild or a wolf's natural diet, it's mostly protein and it's mostly fat, and it's very low levels of carbohydrate. So that's what I recommend to most people, is finding a food that has a lower carbohydrate content and a lower grain content. If you look at the food labels, a lot of them are made up of corn and wheat, and I really encourage people to get their animals off of corn and wheat onto a grain-free diet, number one.
And that's for dogs and cats?
And for cats, too. Yes, definitely. And cats even more so. It's more important for them to have a diet that's made up of more high-quality protein and fat than it is for them to have any carbohydrates at all.
And I'm trying to remember the diet that we have for our cats, our two cats. But there, It's 100%. There is no carbohydrates.
Oh, wonderful.
There are no carbohydrates in it. It's fairly expensive.
That's the thing. Yep, that's the thing. Is with the higher protein content, the food becomes much more expensive. It's cheaper to buy a food that's made up of a lot of corn and a lot of wheat. So that's where I think there's some difficulty in making the transition to some of the higher quality, higher protein foods is the cost.
And something we just had to consider and decided, well, if we're going to have cats, we have to afford to properly feed them. So.
Yes, definitely. And the thing is, too, you know, it might be a higher cost up front, but you really, the health that you're giving to your pet by feeding them a more species-appropriate diet is really going to pay off in the longer run, in the long term. Dogs and cats that are fed a diet that's higher in the carbohydrates, we tend to see a lot more problems as they get older. And when they're young and healthy, their body can adapt to really pretty much anything. But as they get older, their body is not so able to adapt. So that's when we tend to see some of the more chronic diseases pop up.
I'm surprised ours don't like chicken at all. They spurn chicken. I have a very expensive bag of chicken that they love fish.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, cats are tough. Cats are definitely tough, and you can spend a lot of time trying to figure out what exactly they like to eat.
Well, Angela and Nina has a question. Let's go to her. Hi, Angela.
Hi. I have two cockapoos, and my one male cockapoo, when we first got him, noticed that he was having some low growth and stuff like that, and so the doctor did testing and found that he had a liver shunt condition. And so I was making him a diet that was suggested to me by the University of Tennessee, and then now he's had his liver shunt condition surgically corrected. He has the amyloid constrictor, and he's doing really well. So now my vet wants me to transition to just regular dog food. And, you know, I was feeding him, like, blueberries, and he loves carrots, and he loves peas and green beans and broccoli. Mm-hmm. And so I've looked for, and I found, it's called Precise Holistic. Mm-hmm. It's a lamb and turkey pellet, you know, sort of thing. And he likes it okay, but I still really want to see if there's not a home made diet that's good for him. And I know that when we had him on the first diet, I actually had to use this Balance It supplements because it has all the nutrition that he wouldn't be getting from just like it was cottage cheese, rice, and high quality protein that I had to put in there. And we used olive oil. Mm-hmm. So do you have a homemade diet that you think is appropriate?
Yeah, there are a lot of different types of homemade diets that you can do. And the biggest thing is just making sure that you balance out the ratio of the different protein and the different fats and the carbohydrate load in there. And then also, I will always recommend supplements. And it sounds like you found one that you were feeding, and that's definitely a big part of doing any homemade diet is making sure that they get all the vitamins and minerals, especially calcium, that they might not get in some of those things that are put into the commercial food, so you don't really have to think about it as much. But yes, there are definitely homemade diets that you can do, and you can always contact me. And I work with a lot of people, especially that have animals that have certain health conditions, and formulating a homemade diet that you can make at home that can address some of those conditions for their optimal health.
Great. That's what I'm looking for. Yep. Do you have a website?
I do. It's fullcirclepet.com.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Angela, for calling. Appreciate it. Tom in Cloquet, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi. We have a multi-poo. And what the problem is, my father-in-law, they live with us, and he loves to feed my dog table scraps. And now my dog won't eat the regular dog food or any dog food now and only wants something that we eat. And we're just trying to figure out how, because we could buy different kinds of dog food, and he'll try it once, and then he won't eat it anymore, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough when they start to become more accustomed to feeding to eating human food, and that's not the direction that you want to go. You don't want to feed them 100% human food. So what you could try to do is just making a, you could do a mix, and not feeding the human food separately, but kind of mixing it in with his regular food, just so he does, because I'm a firm believer that human food is not evil, and it's a good thing to add in some of those fresh ingredients. As long as it's healthy for us, it's going to be healthy for them, and in moderation is always good. So, you know, maybe finding a balance between the two, so that in trying different sorts of kibble and conventional food, or even trying some different canned food that has all the nutrients that they need, but is more similar to a human type of food.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it's a good idea.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, yeah, appreciate it. And we have Belinda next. Hi, Belinda.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I have a similar problem as the previous caller. We got a dog, Pete, from the Humane Society, and we've tried different brands of dry food. He'd eat once or twice and just turn his nose up, so we'd start giving a little more people food.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tried different types of canned dog food, different brands. Didn't want nothing to do with it. Wants more of the human, and he'll only eat wet cat food and human food now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting, and he has high cholesterol, and he's getting obese.
Yeah, getting fat. Yeah. So that's a behavior thing in part, but what do you do in situations like that, Dr. Donahue?
Well, another thing that you might think about doing is there are several companies out there that make kind of pre-made raw food diets, or kind of pre-made home cooked diets, where it's more of a fresh food, but it's and a lot of dogs and a lot of cats will go for that, and that does provide complete nutrition, and it's something different. It's not like a kibble, and it's more fresh than a canned food. So that might be something. Another thing that you could try doing is even mixing in some water, or mixing in some no sodium chicken broth with some of the foods to make them taste a little bit better.
Okay.
Some of the water.
Adding a gravy.
Yeah, exactly. Adding a gravy, adding in some yogurt, which is good for the GI tract, adds in those probiotics. Mm-hmm. You can take the water that you get from tuna or sardines and mix that in with the food. Just some different things that you can add to make it a little bit, taste a little bit better. And then adding in that extra moisture is always going to be good for them, too.
That sounds good. All this talk is making me hungry. I'll be perfectly honest. Thanks, Belinda.
Food smells pretty good.
Thank you so much for calling. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, owner and founder of Kindred Spirits Holistic Veterinary Care, as well as Full Circle In-Home Pet Hospice and Euthanasia, with us until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, with the start of a new year, many of us are taking a look at how we eat and whether we're making healthy choices. I am. How about you? Diet and nutrition have a big impact on how we feel, and certainly the same is true for our pets. Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Dr. Carrie Donahue is the owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Clinic. And she has some great advice for deciding what's the best diet for your pet, how to compare different options. Do you rely on commercially prepared pet food, or do you make it yourself? Dr. Carrie is happy to answer your questions when you call in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or post a question and a photo. We always love the pet photos on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show for that. And we'll be back with our guest right after the news. Taking a look at how to choose the right diet for your pet, be it a dog or a cat, our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, is the owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Care. And she also, obviously, Full Circle Home Pet Hospice and Euthanasia as well. If you remember it, I actually announced it as Kindred Spirits Holistic Veterinary Care, but the name now is Full Circle. Come Full Circle. And,
yeah.
And here we are. And she's working out of Madison now. She's on Atwood Avenue in Madison. As we were talking earlier, not far from where I live, probably about a 5-minute walk, as a matter of fact. So great to have her here. And she has some wonderful advice about the diet for your dog or your cat. I hope you'll join in. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page. Better yet, at the Larry Mueller Show, you can post a question or a comment there. Our number, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call that way. Marilyn in Montfort, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. I had questions about the dog chews and products that you can buy, the chicken breast, rawhide type things, and some of them are made in China, Thailand. And previously there were problems with things from those countries, and I wondered, are they policed better? Are they more healthy than they had been in the past?
You know, I do not believe that they are policed any better, and I don't think that there is any more regulation done on the pet food treats that are coming out of China than it ever has been in the past. So I always recommend finding treats and finding food that is made here in the United States, and even making your own treats at home. And that's something that you can definitely do, and it's simple, and your dogs will love it. There are a lot of local companies that make great treats and make great food as well. So I would, if you can, stay away from anything that comes from China, because you just don't know. And we've seen so many problems in the past that I would not recommend.
Could you say more about making your treats?
Oh, yeah. There are so many wonderful cookbooks out there right now that give you recipes, and you can even find them on the internet, making recipes and making treats for your own dogs that are very, very simple, that might have beef liver, that might have sardines or some meat source, and might have some pumpkin mixed in and some oats, and it's, you just bake that and give it to your dog, and they're wonderful things. One of the best books that I really love that has some great recipes in is called The Natural Dog, and that's by a veterinarian, and her name is Diva Khalsa, K-H-A-L-S-A, and her book is just wonderful, and it's filled with some great ideas on nutrition, and then also ways that you can incorporate some more home-cooked food into your animal's diet.
So what was the title of that again?
The title is called The Natural Dog.
The Natural Dog. We'll post that up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it's a great resource.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Okay, Tony wondered in an email, can you name a brand of dog food that doesn't have all the grain in it?
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where now that more and more people are looking for foods that don't have the high grain contents, more and more companies are starting to produce them. One of my favorite companies is based here in Wisconsin, and that's called Fromm, F-R-O-M-M. Fromm Food, and all of their foods are grain-free. Another food that I recommend that's kind of lower on the cost spectrum is called Taste of the Wild, and that's a grain-free food and a wide variety of protein sources. They have a bison formula and a lamb formula. And another brand is American Natural Premium, and What I actually recommend doing is either talking to a veterinarian or going into one of the smaller local pet food stores like we have here in Madison. And
that's some great ones here.
Yeah, we do. There's Bad Dog Frito, which is located on Atwood Avenue, close to the clinic. And then Nutsy Mutts and Crazy Cats is another one here in Madison. And they are very well versed on good quality foods and helping you to find a food that fits in with your lifestyle and something that your animal might like.
We've been going to Nutsy Mutts for years and years. So
oh,
it's
yes.
It's a great place.
Yes,
the
it
local
is.
Stores are always great.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Beth, I wondered about, just sort of go along with this, her dog, you know, she got him, he's a wire-haired pointing griffon, and she's got this protein-free food, and the dog won't eat it. And, you know, why is it that animals sometimes have a problem eating that food?
Yeah.
Because it's really good for you.
I know. It's good for you. And, you know, maybe it's kind of like us. And we kind of go for foods that taste good over foods that are always good for us. And one of the things with a lot of the commercial foods, they will add in certain things like sugary ingredients, sweeteners, and even some salty ingredients to make the food taste good to the animal. So your animal loves eating it, even if it's a lower quality food. So I think that's where a lot of the trouble comes in, switching your animals to a higher quality food, a higher protein food, is that it doesn't quite taste as good to them.
Uh-huh.
And it takes some getting used to, you know, and it can take offering it to them or even mixing it in, doing a very, very slow transition with an old food that you know that they like and slowly making the transition to a new type of food.
And Nick brings up something in an email. He's, you know, my question is, haven't dogs and cats been eating whatever they can find for thousands of years? My pets don't get table scraps, never have, but why would I spend significantly more for, quote, organic food?
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly true. Dogs are scavengers. Cats, not so much. But yeah, well, the thing is, their GI tract should have developed to process any type of food that they come into contact with. Anything that they want to eat, they should be able to eat. The problem that I see with a lot of the commercial foods is that we're feeding them the same type of food day in, day out, same sort of kibble or the same sort of canned food. And so their GI tract gets used to just that one type of food. So it can't handle anything different that you might want to add in. So I think it's great to add in the table scraps or add in a variety. If you're feeding a dry kibble, switch up which protein sources you're giving or switch out brands of kibble that you're feeding, just to give them a variety so they can have that more natural scavenger type, and you know, variety is the spice of life, and it's so true for animals too. As far as the organic food goes, I do think it's important for all of us to eat organic food, and that goes for animals too, but I think it's even more important just to get them on a good quality protein and good quality meat. More important than just, if you can feed organic, that's great, but I don't think you have to.
Well, what about beet pulp? Brad wondered about that in dog food. I've had organic dog food dealers say it's not good at all, but I've had vets say that it's a necessary probiotic.
Well, that with the beet pulp, you know, and you're going to find a lot of different opinions on that. I think the most important, and it is important for animals to have probiotics, and that's a supplement that I always recommend, whether it's adding in some yogurt or adding in a powdered or a capsule probiotic, just to make sure that their GI tract is healthy and it can process the different foods that you're feeding. So as far as the beet pulp, I don't think that it's a necessary ingredient in dog food. I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to have in there, but it's probably more of a filler and more of sort of a carbohydrate than anything else.
Wendell and Marinette, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. We have a 13-year-old black lab who's in an excellent active shape. He's given walks twice a day, but we're having problems with him in terms of his digestive tract. And he has periodic bouts of loose stools, and then we give him some boiled white rice, and that sort of slows him down again. But we're wondering, in terms of a diet, we're feeding him right now a thing called Science Diet for Active Longevity Mature Dogs, and I'm wondering if you have any other suggestions. He also is being given, for some arthritis, he has meloxicam periodically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Science Diet, that's one of those diets that you hear a lot about.
Right.
A lot of people use it.
A lot of people do use it. And, you know, not to say that it's not a good food, but I would just say look at the ingredient list and make sure that you know what you're feeding. For any dog with arthritis issues, I always recommend switching to a grain-free food. The corn and the wheat tend to be inflammatory agents in the body, and if you can eliminate those, you're going a ways towards eliminating the inflammation that's associated with arthritis. With the periodic bouts of the diarrhea, you know, that's one of those things, too, where it just, it's kind of a sign to you that the GI tract, like you said, it's not functioning quite as it should. So if you want to stick with the food that you're at, I would recommend adding in the probiotics. Another thing that you can add in are digestive enzymes, and those are things that will help the pancreas process and digest the food so the animal is getting the full amount of nutrition from it. And you can find a lot of products that have a probiotic and a digestive enzyme in it. And that might be enough just to kind of get him back on track if he is having a bout of diarrhea. And of course, doing the bland diet for a couple of days, boiled rice, you can add in some canned pumpkin, which adds fiber and helps to regulate the bowel and the GI tract, and then just some bland boiled chicken or boiled hamburger is always a good idea.
There we go.
Okay, well, thank you very much. He, we're trying very hard to keep him away from the turkey droppings in our neighborhood, and those are terrible, and we have a lot of turkeys in our area, so
can do it, yep.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, that's something that we didn't have to worry about 10 years ago, for sure. Wild turkey droppings. Christina in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a soon-to-be 2-year-old German Shepherd, and he has had skin allergy issues for probably almost the whole 2 years of his life. Mm. We have him on Canidae Pure C, and also some salmon oil. We also supplement with yogurt. We've tried some, but we found that he is allergic to eggs and most birds. So he can't do chicken, he can't do duck. And so we are having the blood test done for environmental factors, but we've had him on medicine to help with his allergies. He's scratching a lot, especially his ears. We've had him checked. We've just got done with 2 weeks of antibiotics to try and see if that helped, and we tried steroids, and that made him really aggressive. So just kind of curious if you have any suggestions for me. The vet has suggested a hydrolyzed protein diet, but they recommend Hill's, and I'm not really a fan of that. So just curious if you have any suggestions for us.
This is a tough one. Dog and cat allergies, probably one of the most common things that I see and that I get calls for. People looking for an alternative to the steroids and the antibiotics, which, you know, do well for a while and can kind of cover up the symptoms, but they're really not long-term treatments. So food allergies often go hand in hand with environmental allergies. A lot of times a food sensitivity can make animals more prone to having reactions to environmental allergens, and it all really boils down to the immune system is not functioning and it's not responding correctly to different allergens that they're coming into contact with. So I always recommend just going back to the basics. And it sounds like you've done a number of those things, and adding in the probiotics and the salmon oil, the omega-3 fatty acids will always help. A hydrolyzed protein diet is, you know, that's an option kind of on the prescription diet spectrum, but that what it does is it breaks down the protein into tiny little particles so the body doesn't recognize it as an allergen. So I would go towards, you know, if you don't want to do that, and that's fine, but I would go towards a very basic, limited ingredient diet. And then once you have everything under control, then start to add in different things. And it sounds like you're getting there. And if you're doing the environmental testing, that's always good, too, to rule in or out any environmental factors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christina. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Facebook question from Shauna, she's heard that apples and grapes are bad for dogs. She says, my dog loves apples. He will leap into the air to snag them from the branches of the apple tree in our yard. Is it arsenic in the seeds we have to worry about? Do we have to make him stop doing this? He'll eat 3 apples a day sometimes during the season.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that just shows you how important it is to add in the fresh foods to your animal's diet, because it's something that they crave. I agree. Grapes and raisins, as well as onions, are things that you definitely do not want to be giving to your animal. I have not heard about apples, and I think apples are one of those things that are definitely safe to give to your dog. Cats, I'm not sure. Some cats will go for apples. You could always try it, you know, with these things. But the seeds of the apples are, in such small quantities, if they do eat the seeds, it's not going to do anything that's going to harm them unless they're eating, you know, a ton of apples per day. It's not anything that you would have to worry about. But I would say in moderation is always good. 3 apples a day, probably more than, you know, if he's eating that day after day after day, that's probably going to be a little bit too much and might mess him up in his GI tract anyway. But even adding in some different types of fruits and vegetables to balance out so he's not craving those apples so much.
Matthew in Minocqua, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hello. I've got a 3-year-old English bulldog, and he, like a lot of bulldogs, he tends to be kind of lazy, so he put on a little bit of weight. But we've got the weight problem, like, worked out pretty well. But the question I had actually has to do with his nose more than his diet. He's got a really dry nose, and it kind of flakes off. And anything that I put on there, he'll lick it off in about 2 seconds. And I was wondering if there was a salve or some kind of ointment that I could apply that, you know, he's probably going to lick it off either way, but something that might be more effective and definitely something that's not going to hurt his stomach if he does lick it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those things with the dry noses. And yeah, it's tough because they want to lick it off right away. One thing that you could do is apply a type of, I mean, you could even just use some Vaseline, put that on his nose and then distract him right away. Either feed him or take him for a walk, get him running so he's not thinking about what's on his nose, so he's not licking it as much. Probably the most important thing that I would recommend, though, is adding in some extra moisture to his diet and treating it from the inside out. Hmm. And one of the greatest supplements that you can give to your animal is omega-3 fatty acids. And that can be in the form of fish oil. You can do hemp seed oil. You can do flaxseed oil. Or you can often find products that are a blend of all three. Animals that have dry, itchy, flaky skin or the dry noses, this supplement does wonders just to add that extra moisture into their body.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Camille in Frankfort, Michigan. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. I've been wanting to ask this question of someone for so long. I have a 5-year-old cat. She's pretty healthy, but I'm a little concerned about her weight because of her being indoors so much. And I've always heard that they need to have meat. So I give her both dry and wet cat food, but she prefers the dry. So I try to come up with ways to get her to eat the wet. Like in the morning, if I give her a little bit of wet cat food, she knows she has to eat that before she gets the dry. So that works. But it's only a tiny amount. And if I put more than just the tiniest amount in her bowl at once, she'll just walk away from the whole thing. So how important is this? And how do I, you know, cut down on the labor of trying to feed her properly?
It's the hardest thing with cats, and it's one of those things that we're finding out more and more how important it is for them to have a lot of moisture in their diets. The thirst drive that cats have is just not strong enough to make up for the dryness in the kibble. And the same goes for dogs, too. For their body to process that dry food day in and day out, it sucks moisture from all the different organ systems in the body, and it pulls moisture, and it kind of taxes all the other organ systems. So as much as you can do, but what you could try doing is adding in some water to the dry food. And I think I said before, the dry food tends to be higher in the sweeteners and the salty flavor and some other additives that they put in to make it taste better. So that's why it's harder to get cats to transition over to a canned food that might not be quite so flavorful. So, you know, if she really prefers the dry food, just add some water. And a lot of cats will go for that.
That makes some sense.
So that might be something to try. Okay, good luck.
Give it a shot. And Brian in Milwaukee, hi to you.
Yes, I was had a question. My girlfriend's dog was recently diagnosed with pancreatitis last week. She's an 11-year-old Cocker Spaniel lab mix, and we're trying to figure out what our best options are for feeding the dog going forward. And we're waiting for any suggestions on things that we can do to keep her condition under control and
Move from there.
Okay. Yeah, pancreatitis is one of those things where you want to try to feed a food that's lower in fat so it doesn't inflame the pancreas. And this is one of those cases where some of the prescription diets can be very, very helpful, at least at the beginning, to kind of get them back on track, to decrease the load on the pancreas so their body, you know, has a chance to kind of heal itself and get them on a prescription low-fat food for a while, and then try to start to add in some extra ingredients to see what your animal will tolerate. And, you know, as it becomes more of a longer-term management thing, you'll know what you can feed your dog and what you can't feed your dog, and what if you give them something extra that makes them feel a little bit sick, you'll know to not feed that again. So pancreatitis is one of those, it's a longer-term sort of management thing that the diet plays a big role. You just want to get them on a lower-fat food.
Mm, there we go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I want to go back to you. You have a website. Let's
I
go
do.
Back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. The website is fullcirclepet.com.
And what do you have on that site?
Well, what I have on there is just kind of, I explain what I do, which is the mm-hmm. holistic medicine. But, you know, I also do, having set up the clinic, I also do a lot of basic veterinary care. I do mm-hmm. do vaccines. Again, I'm very conventional as far as the vaccines that I give, and I always talk to people about the animal's lifestyle and what's really necessary to give them. So I do a lot of basic veterinary wellness, conventional care, as well as the holistic. So that kind of explains it on my website, and then I also talk about the hospice care and the in-home euthanasia, too.
And again, that site is?
FullCirclePet.com.
Thank you. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest. We'll have her back. We'll do this again with her. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.